Well, good morning and welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. It's very good to be here with you this morning. God has blessed us with just a beautiful day outside, gorgeous sunshine, blue skies. But it's wonderful to be in here with you this morning as well, in this place, gathered in the name of God, assembled in His presence, in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, singing songs to Him of praise, lifting up our hearts and our minds to Him in prayer. And now I would encourage you at this time to grab a Bible and open to Psalm 23 and read what it is God has to say to us from His Word this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so very pleased you've decided to come spend your time with us this morning. I want you to know you're among friends, and we want you back every time you have the opportunity to do so. You're welcome here. I encourage you to grab a Bible as well. Open to Psalm 23, very familiar psalm in the Bible, one that untold millions of people turn to in times of trouble when they need comfort and consolation and peace and strength. Psalm 23, the depiction of God as the great shepherd of His sheep, His people. Starting in verse 1, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, David wrote this psalm from a very interesting perspective. He wrote it from the perspective of the sheep and also the shepherd. If you remember, David was a shepherd tending his father's flock when God sent the great old prophet Samuel to anoint him king over Israel. And we read about that in 1 Samuel 16. But after David was anointed, what did he do? Did he get all full of himself and abandon his responsibilities? No. He went right back to care for his charge, to tend to his sheep. He knew what it meant to have a heart of care for the sheep. It takes a very special heart to be a good shepherd. You have to be tough and disciplined, but you also have to be tender and compassionate. And I think all of those things define David very well. Sheep are feeble and timid creatures. They need to be handled with care and compassion, but they can also be stubborn, obstinate, and they need to be handled with discipline sometimes, toughly. And what that tells us, to boil it all down, sum it all up, it means they're in need of constant care. Every waking hour, the shepherd needs to be watchful and be tending to his flock. A great portion of a shepherd's life is spent alone in the countryside. And all by himself with no other person around, he often is left to his thoughts. And a person in that position could turn into an undisciplined daydreamer, or someone who thinks all types of unrighteous and wicked thoughts, or he could use this time to draw near to God in prayer and devotion. And that's the type of person that David was. And David's innermost reflections when he was out there with his sheep in the pasture always turned to the greatness of his God and the wonder of his Creator. David's reflections of God as his shepherd were thoughts of love and providence and protection and guidance, just like David had for his sheep, even more so. I read the book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, written by Philip Keller, in preparation for this lesson, and a lot of the material was taken from that book for this lesson. But you could easily say that very thing about David, couldn't you? A shepherd looks at Psalm 23, written by David. It's from his perspective. Let's try to look at how the shepherd looks at Psalm 23, how David looks at it from his unique perspective. Psalm 23 and verse 1. David starts by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now just say, as a side note, we're only going to cover verses 1 through 3 this morning. We just don't have enough time to do justice to this whole psalm if we try to cover it all in one sermon. So verses 1 through 3 this morning, and we'll cover verses 4 through 6 in part 2 tonight. But once again, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Listen, the Lord was David's shepherd. The Lord, we're talking about Yahweh God, the great I Am, the self-existent one, the one and only true living God. There are many false gods in the world, and especially in the ancient world. Egypt had a god for every day of the calendar. Now you think about the Roman world and all the gods that were there in this type of society. There were sun gods and moon gods and war gods, fertility gods, gods of weather and oceans and animals. You name it, there is a god for it. There's only one God who is a shepherd. And that's the one and only living God of heaven. And He's not a fickle weather god or a belligerent war god. He is a firm leader, yet He is a loving caregiver. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 depicts Him just as that type of God. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, "Like a shepherd He will tend His flock. In His arms He will gather the lambs and carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Get that depiction there of God cradling His lambs, His sheep, gently in His bosom, caring for them with tender mercy and compassion. What an awesome picture of our God. David's God was the true shepherd of the sheep, deeply caring and concerned for His sheep. Only the person who can truly say the Lord is his shepherd can also say, "I shall not want," as David did. No matter how many hundreds of gods you claim to believe in and serve, only one can tend to all your wants, all of your needs. This is really a depiction here in the psalm of the all-encompassing care of the shepherd. Look at all the blessings that we get from our God. Just as we read the six verses of Psalm 3, when he talks about lying down in green pastures, that's provision. Leading by still waters, that's peace. Restoring the soul, that's forgiveness. Leading in paths of righteousness, that's guidance. When he says, "You are with me," talking about the ever-present faithfulness of God. When he says, "Your staff and your rod come from me," you're talking about discipline, protection, preservation. When he says the table is prepared in the presence of his enemies, we're talking about providence and protection. When he says, "You anoint my head," we're talking about healing. When he says, "My cup overflows," he's talking about abundance. When he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," he's talking about heaven. Who else can offer that? What other God is there that can make such lofty claims, and then back them up, and then deliver on the goods? Only the true God of heaven can do that. Listen, if the Lord is your shepherd, you're not going to want for anything, period. But you're going to have to come to some realizations. You're going to have to face up to some realities if you want the Lord to be your shepherd. First of all, you have to understand that you are a sheep. You're a sheep. You're absolutely dependent on God for that providence, for that peace, for that forgiveness, for that guidance, discipline, protection, preservation, heaven. You need Him for this. You must follow Him like a sheep follows his shepherd. You can't claim to be His and then not follow Him, then go your own way, then stray, then do your own thing, choose your own paths. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." Do you hear His voice? Because He speaks. He has spoken. He's speaking now through this Bible, through His Word. And He's telling you to follow Him. And that means to obey everything that He tells you to do in the Bible. Or try your very best to do that. Make no excuses for yourself. You make every endeavor to follow Him at His beck and call. It's every word. And don't give yourself a reason not to by making excuses for yourself. You do your best to do that. And another reality you're going to have to face up to is that God won't give you everything your heart desires. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything. But look, you're not going to lack in anything that really matters. You'll lack for nothing of true consequence. He'll give you a peace that no thing in this world could possibly bring to you. He'll leave you wanting for nothing. He'll leave you completely satisfied with the things that you do have, because they'll be the best things. They'll be God's things. Well, verse 2 of Psalm 23 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." This is the perfect picture of peace and contentment and satisfaction. Sheep lying down in green pastures and walking, just strolling beside quiet waters. Sheep will not lie down if they're afraid, if they're tense, if they're uncomfortable, if they're hungry. And only the shepherd can rid them of these feelings, of these anxieties, of these problems. Only he can take care of them, provide the proper atmosphere for the sheep to be willing to lie down. Predators threaten, insects pester and infest, in-herd rivalries agitate, hunger burns, and the sheep are 100% dependent upon the loving care of the shepherd to make them feel safe, comfortable, and satisfied, and content. A flock that's restless and scared and discontent and agitated, it's never going to do well. It's never going to flourish. It's never going to prosper. And the same is true with people, with God's people. If you're always frightened, if you're always dissatisfied, if you're always unhappy, not at peace, you might just want to check to see if you're following your shepherd. That's not to say you'll never become frightened or dissatisfied or not at peace. Those things happen from time to time. But if this is your state of existence, a state of agitation, unhappiness, and being frightened, are you really following your shepherd? Because those are not the things that He has in store for you, that He wants to give you, that He gives those who are truly following Him. Now, when you think about green pastures, what's really being depicted here is sheep who are well fed and contented. Like I say, it's nearly impossible to make a sheep lie down when it's hungry. It's always restless, on its feet, walking around, nibbling on grass until it gets its belly full. And only then will it go and lie down. Listen, if we aren't getting full, filling up on God's goodness and His Word, then we are never going to be at peace and rest and find contentment. We're always going to be dissatisfied and agitated. If we don't fill up on His goodness and His Word, we'll always be spiritually unsettled, looking for satisfaction in things and places and people that can't possibly provide satisfaction. Get your fill of God and His Word and His things so that you can be at rest and peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." If you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you'll never be satisfied. What are the things that you hunger for the most? Are you hungering and thirsting for people, for things, for money, for power, for prestige, for position? You'll never find rest if those are the things that you hunger the most for. God wants you to hunger after His things, His righteousness, His Word. Those are the only things that will truly satisfy you at your core, at your spirit, because you are a spiritual being at your core. And nothing can soothe and ease and encourage the sheep more than the presence of their shepherd. You know, often when sheep are restless and irritated and jittery, all a shepherd need do is walk into the fold and immediately you'll see the calm that comes over them. And only the presence of our shepherd can dispel our fears, our doubts, the things that trouble and plague us as well. Do you feel, as the famous verse of the song, "Be with me, Lord," do you feel the constant sense of God's abiding presence? Do you feel God with you at all times? Because that kind of thing doesn't just happen by accident. You've got to stay near Him. You've got to invite Him into your life daily. You've got to willfully, willing to come into His presence and walk with Him if you want to feel Him there. Peace comes by coming into Him, into His presence, inviting Him in and walking with Him. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." You know, even when I'm asleep, I don't even think about lying my head down, pillowing my head at night without inviting God to be with me, to watch over me, to protect me. I don't want to spend a moment of existence on this earth without being in the presence of my shepherd. Even before I go to sleep, I ask Him to stay with me. In peace I can lay down and dwell in safety only because I know He is there. It says also in that verse that He leads me beside quiet waters. I don't know if you've noticed it, but water is often used in the Bible to symbolize things, to symbolize life and strength and refreshment. When you think about the logic of that. How much of your body is made up of water? The body consists of 70% water. Whether you're an animal or a person or what have you, 70% of the body of a person is made up of water. That do you think it's important? Do you think water is important to our well-being? It's the stuff we're made of. Used to take frequent hiking trips, well, yearly hiking trips with some fellas over at the Expressway Church of Christ, and I was a member there. And Rob Arnold, the famous Rob Arnold and his hiking expeditions, he always led those trips. And he had a motto, a proverb, if you will. And we always started the trek by quoting this proverb, and that is, hydrate early and hydrate often. It's so important to keep plenty of fresh, clean water on hand to keep your body hydrated and healthy and strong. We took bottles of water with us, and when those things ran out, we brought a water purifier with us as well so that we could keep the water clean that we're drinking. Not just any water is going to do that for you, keep you strong and healthy. You've got to have clean water. And without pure, ample water, the sheep become weak, scrawny, and dehydrated. Little water supply or unhealthy water supply will make a mess of sheep in a hurry. And only the shepherd knows the best drinking places, the best places to get water, the good watering holes. If the sheep are not led to clean water supply regularly, they're left to their own self to find the water they need to survive, they'll end up drinking nasty, stagnant, disease-infested water. If it's sitting there, they'll just drink it from trenches, from potholes, where bacteria live and parasites, things that'll cause them to be sickened and laden with disease. My dogs dig holes in the ground. I don't know a whole lot about sheep, but I do know a thing or two about dogs. And in my backyard, there are several holes that they've dug up, and I try to cover them back up with dirt, but they just dig them again, so I leave them. But after it rains, they see that muddy water gathered there, and they just go and lap it right up. And when I have fresh, clean water right in the dish, 10, 15 feet away, and it frustrates me so much, it's so aggravating to me, when I set out cool, clear, clean water, and they're satisfied with muddy, murky, nasty water. And we frustrate our shepherd when we drink in the filth that this world offers us. When He offers us pure water, the water of life, and we drink in all the garbage that the world throws at us through the radio and the television and through magazines and the internet. We drink in that garbage, and God only wants good things for us. Those things are not good for our health spiritually. Revelation 7 and verse 17 says, "For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life." God offers us the water of life. The things that this world offers us can only bring death, spiritual death, separation from God. God wants us to be alive and with Him, following Him. Water comes from three main sources when you're talking about sheep. Either the dew on the grass, wells, or streams and rivers. And I don't know if you knew this, and I didn't know this till a little while ago studying for this lesson, but sheep can go months without ever actually taking a drink. Sheep that rise early in the morning, in the pre-dawn morning hours, and do their grazing, not only do they get filled up on food, on the grass, but they get water at the same time. The dew that's saturated and lying on that grass that they're eating. They get the best of both worlds when they get up early in the morning and do their grazing. They get enough water to sustain them throughout the day. Listen, there's nothing like the peaceful early morning hours spent with your shepherd. There's nothing that parallels that. Rising up early, even before the sun comes out, and spending quiet time with God in prayer, reading His Word, and actually meditating on it. David's one who encourages us to meditate on God's Word. It's one thing to read it, and that's good, but do you ever stop and just read a passage of Scripture, a short portion, and just stop and meditate on it and consider what it is that God's trying to tell you in that particular passage, the many faceted things that He's trying to tell you. Nothing will refresh and satisfy your mind and your spirit than if you get up early, spend quiet time with the Lord, and you eat up His Word, and you drink up His Word, and that refreshment and that nourishment, it will sustain you through the entirety of your day. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, the prophet lamented about the fact that there were those who had forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And in John 4 and verse 10, Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria that He would give her living water if she had asked for it. Our God, our Savior, is the fountain of living water. Let me ask you, are you spiritually dehydrated? Because only God time, only good quality God time can refresh you, can refresh your spirit, your soul. Look, we take all kind of time. We take me time, play time, work time, recreation time, TV time. We take all kind of time as well. How much God time have you spent in the last several days? Only that good quality time with God is going to provide you the living water that's going to refresh your spirit and nourish you, give you peace and satisfaction on this earth. What we have here with being led beside quiet waters, these sheep, and lying down in green pastures is the picture of peace and quiet. Sheep lying down, chewing their cud, ruminating. That's what they do. Sheep have to have a place where they can go at and be at peace and ruminate, chew their cud, because that's part of their digestive process. If they never get a chance to do that, a calming time to do that, then they're not going to digest their food well, and they're not going to be healthy. And we need to still ourselves, and we need to ruminate on God's Word as well. We need to chew those things over that He tells us, to really think about those, give those things good consideration. And finally, verse 3 of Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Restoration is a very important concept for us to consider this morning, because there's a reason we're called sheep. Quite often we aren't the brightest creatures in the world. Sometimes we wander away from our shepherd. That's a very dumb thing to do. It's like sheep. They're just not that bright. Not many folks just wake up in the morning one day and just decide, I'm going to leave God today. I'm just going to stray away from Him. That kind of thing usually happens gradually without us noticing at the beginning. We stray a little bit more each day, and then one day we look up and we wonder, where's God? How did this happen? How did I get so far away from Him? Now, some folks willingly leave the presence of their Savior, their shepherd. They're the stupidest people of all, the stupidest sheep of all. But most don't. Most just stray away. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Sometimes we just wander off. Sometimes the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. And we can be led away from God into worldliness and sin. And once again, consider David and his interesting perspective as a shepherd and as a sheep. He was a shepherd, folks, but he most definitely was a sheep. He proved himself to be just as stupid as the rest of us at times. He let his lust guide him away from his shepherd. You know what I'm talking about, that episode with Bathsheba when he saw her bathing and he saw how beautiful she was and he lusted after her and he had to have her and he went and took her and lay with her, committed adultery with her, and he impregnated her, and then he lied trying to cover that up and used deception, and when that didn't work he tried to murder her husband, and he actually succeeded in that attempt. He actually murdered another human being to cover up his sin, compounding sin. And it also made God's name be blasphemed among the enemies of God's people, all because he left the safety and the security of his shepherd and was led away by sin. But look, that was a terrible thing to do. But David, I'll give him credit, he came to his senses. He repented and God restored him. That's what he wants to do for all his sheep who go astray. He'll do that for you too. He wants to do that for you. Nothing would please him more than that. Have you strayed away from your shepherd from the safety and the protection of His bosom, His side. Because you need to make that right. You need to come to your senses. You need to turn back to Him. If you have been caught up in some sin and you haven't made that right, do that. And God will restore you. He wants to do that so badly. You think about the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd went out and he left the 99 behind who were not lost. And when he found that one that was lost, he rejoiced more over it than the 99 who were saved. And then it says that He leads me in paths of righteousness. After He restores you, you've got to let Him lead you. Psalm 14 verses 12 and 13 says, "There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." Listen to me now. Sheep cannot lead themselves. Sheep don't have the capacity to do that. There's a way that seems right to you. And if it's not God's way, it's the wrong way. And it's going to lead to your destruction. You can't guide yourself. Sheep are creatures of habit. If they're left unattended, they'll just repeatedly go to the same spots and they'll overgraze the same grounds and they'll trample over that ground and they'll just destroy it. And that also means when they're doing this that they're passing over and grazing over their own excrement, which is really not good for them. Once again, laden with disease and illness that will cause them to suffer. If sheep are left to themselves, they just destroy the land and they destroy themselves. But a good shepherd leads the flock to fresh pastures. He keeps them on the move. He prevents overgrazing. He leads them in the right paths. Well, what about people? Yep, you guessed it. We're creatures of habit too. You are. You know you are. You ever find yourself falling back into the same old bad habits that you got away from in your past life? Running over the same old ground, those same destructive patterns. Well, let me tell you something. That's bad for you. You know it. You don't need me to tell you that. You know that. But listen, that's bad for God too. You're going to ruin the shepherd's reputation if you don't stop doing that, if you don't straighten up and start walking in the right paths. God wants to lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If you won't do it for yourself, do it for Him. Psalm 31 and verse 3 says, "For You are my rock and my fortress. For Your name's sake, You will lead me and guide me." Look, don't tramp over those same beaten paths that everyone else in the world does and that you used to. Don't give your shepherd a bad name. You're not going to do any good for him or anyone else that way. You're not going to be able to attract anyone into his fold that way. You're going to bring reproach upon your shepherd. Don't do that. You got to understand is you're not the boss. You're not the shepherd. You are a sheep. Stop being a stubborn one. Stop being an obstinate one. Where He leads, you follow, period. Obey Him without resistance. Move with God. Stay with Him no matter what. He doesn't want us going back over those same old paths, those same old dead ends, that old self that we buried in the waters of baptism. He wants us to leave that old sinful man buried there and dead. And He doesn't want us to stay put where we're at now either. Running the same old ground over and over. He wants us to move and grow and improve and explore new spiritual ground, achieve higher heights, aspire to greater things. Listen, don't get me wrong. We are to walk in the ancient paths, the paths that God has laid down for us to follow. We're to follow His ways, but no matter where it is God that's leading us, He doesn't want us to stall out or stagnate anywhere. He doesn't want us just to go in spiritual circles. He wants us to keep moving and learning and growing and developing and expanding. And the more you read of God's Word, the more you learn of Him, the more you understand there are places He wants to take you that you haven't gone yet. Don't stall out spiritually. Keep following Him where He leads. Well, I appreciate your good attention this morning. Go ahead and pick up your songbook. We're going to be singing number 631 as a song of encouragement for you to obey the gospel this morning. While you're doing that, while you're turning your songbook there, I just want you to listen to me as I read Psalm 23 over to you again. Just listen to the words. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You hear that, folks? It's all about God. The emphasis is all on the shepherd here, and appropriately so. Because we have a Father in heaven who adores us and wants to give us all good things. And He's powerful enough to pull it off. He cares for us enough to give us good things, and He has the power to do it, to equip us for every good work, and to give us everything that we could possibly want or need. What you got to understand about the analogy between you and the sheep is eventually at some point that breaks down. Because sheep don't have the brain capacity that you do. You're much smarter than a sheep, even if you don't act like it sometimes. Same true with me. And sheep don't have much of a free will. They just kind of sheep. They do sheep things. They walk around and eat grass and they lay down and they drink water. And that's about what they do. We have a free will. We got to choose to follow our shepherd. You hear me now? If you want to call the Lord your shepherd, you got to make the conscious decision, the choice to follow Him. If you want to be restored, if you want to be at peace, if you want to be led in paths of righteousness, that's what you got to do. He wants to save you. He wants to lead you. He wants to give you peace. Will you let Him? Will you let Him do that? He wants you to do His things His way. We stand prepared this morning to help you in any way we can spiritually to walk that path of righteousness. If you need to repent of your sin and turn back to Him and get back on the right path, you can do that right from your seat. You don't need to tell anybody. But if you're trying to do that and you're struggling, you're having the roughest time, you come up and let me know that. We'll talk about that. We'll help you beat this thing, whatever it is you're struggling. We'll pray with you and for you. We'll study with you. We'll encourage you. We'll do whatever we can do to help you to get back on the right path. If you've never been placed on that path, if you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and placed inside Christ's church, inside His fold of safety, we're ready and willing and able to do that for you this morning too. We'll baptize you into Christ this very morning. Whatever your spiritual need is, won't you let that need be known to us? Would you come up front and tell me what your need is while we're standing and singing to your encouragement?